So 76 and 77, you were with the Oilers.
And then they left town after the 76 season.
Right.
In 1977, I got a better sales job. I know you know this station because it was your sister station for a while, Queen 95, KWEN. A guy named Ron Curtis came in from Arkansas and bought the station. I was in sales for a year with them. I was doing Sepulpa High School basketball and football whenever I could. My old friend, the late Wayne McCombs, who passed away a couple years ago, probably my closest friend I've ever had in Tulsa. I met him in the press box at Oiler Park, and he got me hooked up with KXOJ in Sepulpa. I did that in 77 and 78, and then in March of 78, here come the Tulsa Roughnecks. And I walked into Noel Lemon and Tom Keeter's office, the GM and the owner. They didn't know me. I didn't know them. I walked in and just asked the receptionist if I could get a few minutes with the GM. I had heard the games were going to be on Channel 8 and on KRMG, and I didn't know if they had an announcer or not. I walked in. I walked out an hour later with a job as the Nationals Director of Public Relations. Play-by-play, I had my tapes with me. Play-by-play guy on TV, or on radio, on KRMG. And I was going to be the expert analyst on the games on Channel 8, who had Chris Lincoln at that time. Chris knew nothing about soccer. He leaned on me a lot before he kind of picked up the game, and we went on from there. And Chris and I did those games on TV together for 5 or 6 years. And I did the Roughnecks from 78 until about 83, 84. And that's how I got started in professional soccer. But you know what? I don't get that job unless I had those soccer tapes from Rockhurst College sitting on top of those bleachers. And they hired me on the spot. And I got hired 1 month before we played our first game. The Roughnecks started in April of 84, and off we went. Or 78, I mean. Was 84 that, is my first Cardinals job.
Was that Noel Lemon?
Noel Lemon was the GM.
And he hired you.
He hired me. Tom Keeter of Rainbow Bread fame was the local owner. The team was actually owned by the Lay's family down in Texas. You know, Lay's potato chips and all that. H. Ward Lay, a really nice gentleman, owned the company. They owned the soccer team. And that team was in Hawaii before they came to Tulsa. It was called Team Hawaii. The one player, among others, that they brought with them from Team Hawaii was a crazy guy from Scotland who would become one of my best friends named Charlie Mitchell.
Yeah.
I know you remember Charlie.
Oh, yes.
Charlie was the heart and soul of that team. He later coached the Roughnecks, and he was a hard-nosed defender on that team. I went all over Northeast Oklahoma with Charlie and a couple of the other guys. We did clinics. We went to all the grade schools, the community centers. We were doing clinics from here to Muskogee and every point in between. And that's how we really took soccer to the people here in Tulsa in 78.
Tulsa really embraced the soccer team, for sure. 1983 championship, they defeated Toronto Blizzard.
In Vancouver, in front of about 40,000 people. That was the Soccer Bowl championship. I actually got to do the game on national TV. Anheuser-Busch, which was always big into soccer, and I was already doing some other work for them. They had a national network, and I did a lot of games for them. Debbie went with me. We turned it into kind of a traveling vacation up to the Vancouver, Seattle area. The Roughnecks beat the Toronto Blizzard. Terry Hennessy was the coach who had taken over. He was Charlie's assistant when Charlie got fired by Noel, which was really not a Noel was not nice to Charlie on that deal, and it really upset me. Terry Hennessy coached that team. Billy Caskey and Victor Moreland, the Northern Ireland connection, they were on that team. They won the Soccer Bowl, and it was wonderful. We had a big reception downtown on the green down there, right by the BOK Tower. And John, within a year or two after that, the NASL folded. They just couldn't make it financially. So the Roughnecks were one of the last champions of that league.
Yeah.
So,
but in 1980, we had they played the New York Cosmos.
It was in 79. It was in the 1979 playoffs. The Roughnecks had beaten the Minnesota Kicks, who were our nemesis. They knocked us out in 78 up in Minneapolis, St. Paul. In 79, we faced the Minnesota Kicks again, and the game went overtime at Metropolitan Stadium, that old stadium up there where the Vikings and the Twins used to play. Mm-hmm. And a Roughnecks defender by the name of David Nish scored on a free kick in overtime, and the Roughnecks knocked the Minnesota Kicks out of the playoffs. We had beaten them in Tulsa and then beat them up there. So next, here come the Cosmos. And game one was in Tulsa. Games two and three were going to be in New York. The Roughnecks, in what I think is the—I know they won the championship 4 years later, but that August night in 79, we beat the Cosmos 3-0. There were probably over 30,000 people at Skelly Stadium. The place went absolutely crazy. Alan Woodward assisted on the greatest Roughnecks goal I had ever seen. I'm trying to remember who finished it off. It'll come to me in a minute. Woody, who later went on to work for American Airlines here in the maintenance department, and I told Woody, you work in maintenance at American Airlines? I'm never flying American again out of Tulsa. But that was just, you know, a little aside. Woody went flying down the right wing, made a beautiful cross, and at the top of the penalty area, our center, and it'll come to me, he nodded it to the far post. It was the most beautiful, wonderful goal I had ever seen the Roughnecks score. They would score two more goals and beat the Cosmos. Well, then we went up to New York. We got their attention. And in front of 70,000 people, they beat the Roughnecks. And then the NASL had this ridiculous thing called the mini game after that same night, which would decide that. And the Cosmos beat us in that. We got knocked out. But that August evening in 1979, to me, was the zenith of soccer in Tulsa because we finally beat the mighty Cosmos with Giorgio Chinaglia, Franz Beckenbauer, Carlos Alberto, all those international stars they had, 30,000 people at Skelly Stadium for a soccer game of all things. Right. And it was just unbelievable.
And I was there. I was there.
I'm sure you were.
I consider that when Nolan Richardson and TU won the NIT as two of the zenith moments in the history of Tulsa. I don't know that the city has earned that kind of status before.
Yeah, because, you know, TU made it. I think they won the NIT one other time, but TU basketball arrived on the national scene because that year, and I was doing their games on TV for Tulsa Cable after I got fired by Channel 8, which is a whole other story. Nolan came in. He brought five of his guys from Texas Western Junior College with him. Paul Pressey was one of those guys who was an amazing defensive player, later played in the NBA. They beat Louisville in overtime on a buzzer beater at the Assembly Center because they were playing their games downtown that year. And then they had the magical run and went up to Syracuse, or went up to New York. I think Syracuse was one of the teams they beat. Mm-hmm. And they won the thing at Madison Square Garden. You're right. That whole thing, that's when Tulsa basketball reached some unbelievable heights.
Right.
From where it had been before that.
I remember we had that rally downtown at Bartlett Square, and I was there doing a live noontime show, 41 Live, KGCT-TV, Channel 41, in Storefront Studio on the main mall. And so that was a very, very memorable time. And Nolan Richardson was such a great guy.
I remember interviewing Nolan as they were making that stretch. You know, they were winning those games and getting ready to go to New York. Channel 8 sent me into his office to do a one-on-one interview with him. I remember he was at his desk. We had microphones set up on the desk. I was on the other side, and our cameraman framed it beautifully. Nolan sitting there, and right behind him on the wall was a sign that said, "One way, my way." Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of strong personality Nolan was. And, you know, I asked him during that interview, you know, tell me more about this one way, my way thing. And he talked about, you know, you're winning, you're trying to win, but you're also trying to teach young men how to be men and how to be winners. And he looked at me and he said, there's one rule around here, Bob. He said, I am the judge and I am the jury. And that, in a nutshell, is Nolan Richardson.
Why did the Roughnecks disappear and dissolve? What happened?
It was a league-wide thing. In Tulsa, the Roughnecks during the summer, you know, we had the Drillers. The Oilers were gone by then. As I said, they moved on to New Orleans. And that's a team that ended up in Louisville, Kentucky, setting all the minor league attendance records. But then the Drillers came a couple years later. They played in a makeshift ballpark until they built Sutton Stadium right there at 15th and Yale. Noel used to pound into our heads constantly. We're the only major league sport in Oklahoma. We're the only major league sport in Oklahoma, which was kind of true if you consider the NASL major league. I mean, there was no other soccer league at that time. To a certain extent, we were the only game in town. The Green Country Soccer Association had thousands of kids playing soccer. Broken Arrow was the big hotbed. I think Bixby followed, Muskogee, hundreds of kids playing soccer down there. So I think the Roughnecks, John, on a local level, really appealed to the kids because they could look up to Billy and Victor and Charlie Mitchell and Alex Skatarek and all the other guys the Roughnecks had. Even though we didn't really have any local players on the Roughnecks. Some of them made Tulsa their home eventually, most notably Victor, you know, who's still here. Woody passed away a few years ago. But a lot of the, you know, and Alex. Alex has been around here forever. But I think the Roughnecks, John, connected on a local level with this community. Not only the kids, but the parents. Because somebody's got to bring the kids to the game. And that's what happened. So because of that, the Roughnecks were drawing better crowds. You know, we'd go to New York, and the Cosmos were the Cosmos. They were on another level. But we'd go to Philadelphia. The Philadelphia Fury, they're playing in the Eagles Phillies Stadium, and they're drawing 8,000 people. You know, we go to Fort Lauderdale. The Strikers were popular, but they were playing in a high school, glorified high school stadium in front of 10,000 people. Tampa Bay Rowdies were the other really good franchise. They were drawing 20,000 or so a game down in Tampa. But really, from a crowd standpoint, it was kind of like the Cosmos, the Rowdies, and the Roughnecks. And the rest of the league, I mean, we went to L.A. The L.A. Aztecs were playing in the Rose Bowl, and there were 7,000 people there. It was just, it was the whole thing was so incongruous. It just was weird. They had to play in these big stadiums. Yeah. So some of the smaller towns did better in soccer than the big markets did. And I think those big markets, you know, the Cosmos couldn't finance the league all on their own. So eventually, I think that's what led to the demise of the NASL.
Well, the Roughnecks players became huge celebrities. And, of course, Charlie Mitchell had his restaurant.
Charlie had five or six restaurants.
And I remember his mother there, and she was so sweet and spoke with an accent and Irish brogue. And,
well, don't be careful. That was Scottish.
I mean, I'm going to say that. And she spoke with a Scottish
brogue.
Yeah,
there you go. Right. Yeah, Charlie was from a little town called Paisley, Scotland.
Yeah.
And, I just fell in love with that guy. And we had a Roughnecks reunion over at Chapman Stadium, formerly Scully Stadium. It must have been a 30-year reunion. So, oh my gosh, John, that's been 13 years ago already. But we had a reunion in 2013 in the big reception area up there at the stadium. Billy and Victor, Billy came back from Ireland. Alex was there. Don Draghi and Paul Turin from St. Louis. Paulie was one of our goalkeepers. A whole bunch of the guys came back, you know, and a bunch of them. And, you know, Charlie was there kind of headlining the whole thing. I kind of co-emceed it with Victor. We had to shut down Victor for a while because the stories were taking way too long and all that. And there was, you know, there was some colorful language, as there always was with the Roughnecks, because off the field, they were just, you know, these guys were crazy fun and a little bit out of control. But it's hard to believe it's been 13 years since we had that 30-year reunion.
It seems like I remember KRMG started raising money to try to save the Roughnecks.
I think so. I think
right,
you're right.
Right.